Good morning. Happy Easter. Glad you're here this morning. I was born and raised in Sacramento, California. So because of that, who do you think is my favorite NBA team? Yes, it is not the Kings. It's the Lakers. The Lakers are my favorite team because I had moved from Sacramento long before the Kings ever got there. So although my family up north feels a love and attachment to the Kings, my favorite team is the Lakers. And if you were following the Lakers this past week, they had some awesome games. In fact, there was one game they played against the Milwaukee Bucks when they were losing by 19 points in the fourth quarter. In fact, they were losing by 19 points earlier, and then they came back, and then they went down by 19 points again. Now, to show you, I keep two games right now. I have two games in my DVR that I keep. The comeback versus the Milwaukee Bucks and the comeback versus the Clippers. Okay, sorry, Damon. So this is on my TV. I took this picture, and then let me show you the scoreboard. The Lakers are down by 19 points in the fourth quarter with less than 8 minutes to go. Now, at this point, in fact, I know some people. I have a friend. He had already turned the game off by now, right? Because when you're down, when you're losing, when you're down, when things are against you, there's despair. Right? There's hopelessness, and you feel like throwing in the towel, and you feel like giving up. And that's how we feel when we're down. But they came back. They came back, and they won in double overtime. Comebacks are awesome, right? We love comebacks. That's why I have those two games saved on my DVR, because we love comebacks. But you know what's even better than a comeback? It's when there's a complete reversal. For example, what if the Lakers were winning by 30 points and then they ended up down by 30 points? And then there's this complete reversal where they end up coming back and winning the game. It kind of reminds me of like the testimony that Ollie gave, right? That was an exciting day. That was a special day. They were moving into their new home, bigger home, better home. And so there is a stress of moving, but it was an exciting day. It was a great day. And then, blindsided. He personally got blindsided with the container stuck in his driveway, right? The new owners coming in, starting to get angry, and then the agent actually talking about lawsuits. And so they were on this high. We're moving, it's our moving day, it's a great day, we're moving into a new house. And then Ollie went through this journey of struggle, of anxiety, of worry, of fear. And those emotions are real. We all go through that. We all go through that when things don't go our way, when we have struggles, when we have opposition, when we are blindsided, and we are down. But for Ollie and Anna and the family, it just turned around. Suddenly, it turned around. He was on a high, and then he went low. And then there was this huge reversal where he was delivered. You know this pattern of high and then low and then tremendous turnaround. That's the pattern. That's the Easter story right there. The Easter story is about this high. It's parallel to this Easter story about this high. You know, the week before Jesus was crucified on the cross this last Sunday. What Sunday is that? Palm Sunday. on Palm Day. The reason why they call it Palm Sunday is because Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, and the people were praising him. They were excited. It was like the conquering hero is coming on to the scene. And so they were throwing palm branches in front of him, paving the way, like laying out the red carpet for Jesus to come in. And they were expecting Jesus to come in as the conquering king, as the deliverer, as one who was going to overthrow the evil Roman oppressive empire. And he was going to set up his kingdom and fulfill God's promises for which they had been waiting for over 1,000 years. And so this was this huge high. They were cheering, they were shouting, they were praising, hallelujah! Our king has come. But then, crash. Everything crashed. Very quickly, things unraveled. And Jesus' followers, who were on this highest high, ended up in the lowest of lows. Probably the worst several days of their life. Look at what happened. This is what took place after Jesus' triumphal entry. These are the things that took place. First, Jesus was betrayed. Jesus was betrayed by Judas. Luke 22:48. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" You've heard that phrase, betrayed with a kiss. This comes from that. Judas betrays Jesus. And then the disciples were scattered. They ran in fear. Matthew 26:56. Then all the disciples left him and fled. All his closest friends, all his closest, dearest companions, those that pledged their life to him, fled, ran away, abandoned him. And then Jesus is abused. Matthew 26:67. Then they spat, the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, then they spat in his face and beat him with their fists, and others slapped him. And then Jesus is condemned, Matthew 27:22. Pilate said to him, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They all said, the crowd started shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Jesus was whipped 39 times, no less, with metal bone-encrusted whips. Matthew 27:26. He, Pilate, ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified, whipped over and over and over and over until his back and his chest was bloody and raw. Then Jesus is crucified, Luke 23:33. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. And then darkness filled the earth. Matthew 27:45. At noon, the middle of the day, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. And then Jesus is abandoned. Matthew 27:46. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" His eternal Father, who he had been with and lived with from the beginning of time, forsook his Son, abandoned Jesus, and poured out the judgment of God and condemnation and the wrath for all of the sins of mankind, for your sins and mine. And then Jesus dies and his body is buried. Mark 15, 37 and 46. Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last. The conquering king is dead. He's dead. Joseph brought a long sheet of linen cloth. Then he took Jesus' body down from the cross, wrapped it in the cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone in front of the entrance. They were on highest of highs. And all this happened. And they ended up in a dark, hopeless, fearful, anxious, defeated place. What happened? What happened? How could things go and turn so quickly? They hit rock bottom. And you know why they call it rock bottom? Because there's no place lower you could go. It's the bottom. You know, life can sometimes blindside us like that. You know, I'm seeing that more and more. As you get older, your health starts to wane, your friends start to die. And it's very easy that we could find ourselves in the bottom. You know what rock bottom is? You're dead. You're dead. In life, it doesn't get any more bottom than that. You know, there's a family in our church, the Oyakal family, and at a point in their life, not too long ago, they were blindsided. They were blindsided. They hit rock bottom. In the words of wife and mother Christine, she said they were at the point of devastation. Her husband, Dan, Oyakawa, sitting right there. Dan started training to run the Long Beach Half Marathon with his daughter, Ashlyn. And one day, he decides after work to go to the track, to the Orange Coast College track. And while running on that track, totally collapsed. Totally collapsed with a massive heart attack. Paramedics were called. Paramedics came in. And Dan found out later they had to shock his body 6 or 7 times just to get his heart going again. Fortunately, they did get his heart going, but he was in really, really bad shape. And so, and in fact, some of the paramedics or the fire chief he talked to afterwards said, "We didn't think you were going to make it." I'm going to show you a video clip, and it's of Dan's wife, Christine, and she's sharing their story, and we'll pick up the story. And this story is from a video series that John Hino's done in our church. It's called Catalyst Stories. And so let's take a look. Listen to her as she shares.
On that day, my daughter and I had just come home from exercise class, and my son actually happened to be home that day too. So I got a call, and it said Hope Hospital on the phone, but I just thought it was kind of weird, so I didn't answer it. And then it rang again, and it was still Hope Hospital, so I answered it that time, and the nurse said that Dan was in the hospital and that, you know, it wasn't looking good. It looked like he had a heart attack. So the kids and I went to the hospital, and then when we got there, they said, "Well, it's not good because, you know, he didn't have oxygen for like 40 minutes. And so that the only thing they could do was just give him hypothermia treatment so that they could cool down his body, and then all the blood would go to his brain to try and heal his brain." So I said, "Go ahead, just do it." So that was all I could do. It was just like, we were in shock because I didn't even know he was going running that day. Usually he would tell me, but that day he didn't say anything about it. So I didn't even know he went running. So they just admitted him to the hospital, but they were more worried about what caused his heart attack at that point. So they just wanted to get his brain healed and everything. So started the hypothermia treatment for, they said, 24 hours. And so after they did that for 24 hours, he really wasn't responding at that time. They said that there was really no brain activity. That was like Thursday, Friday, and they took another brain scan and they said that he probably wasn't going to come out of that a coma he was in, that he would still be in a vegetative state. It was just devastation because we thought there was nothing we could do, and you know that we're gonna have to make a decision. You know, is he gonna live or is he gonna die at that point? So it was a complete devastation. I just really didn't know what to do. So actually, I spoke to the chaplain at Hope Hospital, and because I was trying to be strong the whole time for everyone else, but when I saw the chaplain, I just broke down and just started just crying and just, you know, saying I didn't understand why this was happening. Meeting with a chaplain was not something I would normally do because at that time I wasn't a Christian. I hadn't accepted Jesus into my life, and I was just someone to talk to. I guess it was easier to let my guard down with a stranger because in front of my family and kids, I was just trying to be strong. So I just let it all just go when I met with the chaplain.
Their situation, that describes rock bottom. Christine's husband, the kid's father, massive heart attack. In the hospital, they had a brain scan, showed no brain activity. Day later, they had another brain scan, no brain activity. And as Christine herself described it, complete devastation. I show this to you because I want you to get an idea of what Jesus' followers went through, what they felt. His followers experienced complete devastation. The promised Messiah, their Savior, their King, dead. Dead on the cross. How can that be? Friday for them, worst day of their lives. Rock bottom. And seemingly the worst day in human history. But God. But God was authoring the greatest reversal in human history. And although it was Friday, the darkest day of their lives, Sunday was coming. Sunday was on the way. Sunday would be here. And thank the Lord for the Oyakawas. They got to taste what a dramatic turnaround is like. What God in His grace had done for them. Let's take a look.
That he didn't have any brain activity and that he wasn't going to come out of his vegetative state. But my kids were in the room during that time because they were just spending time with him. And they said, no, he's moving. And they're like, no, it's just, you know, reflexes or whatever, him moving. But they go, no, he's moving. So then they took another scan in the afternoon, and they said, there is, you know, brain activity, that the scan showed that there was, that it was healing and everything. So it was just a miracle from in the same day, from going from a low to like a high. It was just amazing. So I knew it had to be God's hand, right? Because nothing like that happens, just happens. And it was, now I look back, I know it was all the prayers that everyone gave, you know, because every day there was just people every day coming in all day long. I didn't even get to see them because there was just so many people. I mean, we almost got kicked out of the hospital because we had so many people in the, you know, in the cardiac ward. It was definitely God had his hand in healing him, and all the prayers that everyone was just giving.
What a reversal. What a complete turnaround. From being in that low place, no brain activity, to him showing brain activity, getting better and better, and recovering. And I like what Christine said. She said, I knew it had to be God's hand, right? Because nothing like that happens. Just happens. I want you guys, Dan, stand up. I want you to stand up, Dan. There he is, right there. And you could hear their full story on Catalyst Stories, but that's a powerful thing. That's what Jesus' followers experienced and more. The greatest reversal in human history happened. Jesus, their King, their Lord, their Savior, who was dead in the ground, buried for 3 days, comes back to life and shows himself to all of them. And he proves he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because nothing could keep him down. Nothing could keep him dead. Nothing can keep him from being Savior and being raised to the highest place. You know, many years ago, there was this African-American preacher. His name's S.M. Lockridge. He preached a powerful sermon about Jesus' resurrection and comeback. And it was kind of made mainstream by another person named Tony Campolo. I love him. He's an awesome speaker and preacher. But his message, Pastor Lockwood's message, was based on this one small phrase. And it was this: it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And it went something like this: it's Friday. Judas is betraying. Jesus is praying. And Peter is sleeping, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying her eyes out, and Peter is denying, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Friday. The world is winning. People are sinning, and evil's grinning. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. It's still Friday. And those metal whips are ripping. The soldiers are spitting. And thorns are piercing my Savior's scalp. And the crowd keeps shouting, crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! But they don't know. They don't know that Sunday is coming. It's Friday. Darkness has blocked the sun. Jesus' body is done, and the devil believes he has won. But he has no idea what's happening. He has no clue as what's transpiring. He's blind to the power that's coming. Because Sunday is coming. And he kept going, and he kept going. Friday, but Sunday's coming. Friday, but Sunday's coming. Friday, and Sunday's coming. And he went on for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour and a half. And he kept going and going and going. And by the end of that message, all he did was yell, Friday! And all the people, all the congregation shouted, Sunday's coming! And Sunday came. And Jesus, he rose from the dead. And he defeated death, eternal death, once and for all. And Sunday came for the Oikos. And it impacted Christine greatly. Before they got married, Dan had been praying for 8 years, right, Dan? 8 years praying and trying to share the Lord with Christine. But God used this to bring her to him. Let's just have one last epilogue. Let's hear the rest of their story.
We started going to Catalyst in December of 2017. And we started coming, and in like the Easter service, I decided that I wanted to be saved. And later on, my daughter decided that she was going to get baptized in September 2018. So I went to with her to the class Pastor Barry had, and then I decided to get baptized too. But I think it was really when I got baptized that I really understood what being a Christian was more. So that it really changed my life. Becoming a Christian. Right now, I think I'm the most at peace and just more, I can identify with myself more and just be happy with who I am.
I'm just so grateful to God for just everything he's done for our family and keeping us together, keeping us safe, and just for the love and support that all of our Catalyst family, our family has given us through this difficult time. And we just want to say thank you to everyone that's been with us through this whole journey. And we are so thankful just to God.
And it was through God that Christine acknowledged you and accepted you into her heart. It was just through your grace, Lord, that that all of this came together, and that I'm here, and that I've recovered, and that I'm living a normal, happy life with Christine and my kids, Matthew and Ashley. Just through faith, through God's grace that I'm here to tell my story.
I don't believe God caused what happened to Dan, but I have no doubt God used what happened to Dan because he wanted Christine to know him. I wouldn't wish that on anyone, but I do hope and pray that God would use everything and anything in your life to bring you to him. Because there's nothing more important than you coming into a loving relationship with your Heavenly Father who created you, who loved you, who sent his son Jesus to die for you. You know, some of you, you're stuck on Friday. You're stuck in Friday. There's an area of your life where you feel hopeless or helpless. Some of you are stuck in Friday because you're still under the weight of judgment for your sins. Some of you, you're stuck in Friday because you've hardened your heart or you had a bad experience with people or Christians in the past. And so you've kind of hardened your heart to God. And for some of you, you kind of know it's true, but you've never really taken that step of committing yourself to him. The good news for you today, Sunday's coming. Sunday is here. And he offers you forgiveness of your sins and saving you from eternal death and hell. But you need to make Sunday your own. Those years ago, it was an Easter Sunday. Christine accepted Jesus, put her faith in him, transformed and changed her life. God wants the same for you. But you need to say yes. You have to say yes. He's not going to make you. He won't force you. But you need to say yes. I'm going to have the worship team come on up. Two days ago, it was Friday, but today is Sunday, Easter Sunday. May today be your Sunday. Let's bow for a word of prayer. I don't believe that you are here today by accident. For whatever reasons you came or whatever circumstances brought you here, God was working behind the scenes because he wanted you here. He wanted you to hear this message because he wants you to be part of his family. For some of you, you've been away from God. Maybe you've gotten busy or have gotten distracted or things have become more important. Or maybe you've gotten discouraged or hopeless or disillusioned. Maybe you're in a Friday in your life. God is calling you home today. He's calling you home because he misses you. He wants a loving relationship with you. If you want, today's Sunday, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Yes to him. That you can begin a change and a comeback and a reversal in your life. Because one day, even though you might not need it now or feel it now, you will need it because you will die. So make today the day. And so if you want to just make that commitment, everyone, let's just bow our heads and close our eyes, no peek. This is just something between you and God, and I'm going to help you do that. If you want to just say yes to Jesus today, make today your Sunday, or if you want to recommit to Jesus, all I want you to do is just raise your hand up right now. Just raise your hand up. Does anyone want to make that commitment this morning and say yes? God's here. God sees you. God knows what's in your heart. He loves you. So does anyone want to do that today? To make that decision, just raise up your hand, or feel like you want to recommit yourself to the Lord, raise up your hand. Okay. Lord, you know where each and every person is. You know where they are at with you. And I want to ask that you continue to demonstrate, you would show your love and your grace and your kindness and your goodness to each one here, and that you would show them how real you are, what you've done for us in Jesus, and that you will bless them, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Easter. Thank you that you authored the greatest turnaround, the greatest reversal in history, and we are the recipients of that. So we love you, we bless you, and we just want to close with a time of just worshiping you now. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.